Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how can we preserve our brain capabilities. We hear every day how the statistics are growing for Alzheimer's and dementia, and while we hear about the statistics and the growing statistics about Alzheimer's and dementia, we do not hear about what we can do to preserve our brain functions. And my guest this evening maintains that with proper diet and stress management, we can maintain brain functioning throughout our lives. My guest this evening is Karis Lindruth, a chiropractic doctor who has a practice in the Allentown area. She is an herbalist, a chiropractic doctor with a very busy practice. And for more than 20 years, she has helped her patients working with plant medicine and natural methods to restore well-being on all levels. A teacher at heart, she has offered many workshops and classes on how to maintain brain health. And this past year, she's expanded her research on the microbiome to include studies on natural care for the brain. And she teaches a program for natural brain care online called Keeping Your Brain Brilliant. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Karis Lindruth to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Dr. Karis Lindruth.
Thank you, Ellie. I'm so happy to be here. I have a lot of information to share, and I think your listeners will walk away from this little interview with something that they can start with right away to keep their brain a little bit healthier.
Well, we're looking forward to this. Everybody wants to keep our brains healthier. When we forget our keys or we can't find anything or we forget a word or we walk into a room and we forgot why we're in the room, we go, oh, my God.
Yeah, it is one of the most disconcerting prospects of aging, I think, is losing our minds. So I feel pretty passionate about helping people keep it. And not only just keep your brain function, but could we possibly even improve it as we age?
Wow.
That's what I'm putting out there.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, particularly after all the talk we hear, and not only the talk, but each of us has examples of family members or friends or who have relatives or members of their group that they know are suffering with dementia and Alzheimer's. So tell us, what exactly is natural brain care and who can benefit from it?
Okay, well, first, Ellie, I just want you to imagine like a 40-year-old woman. She's walking into my practice. She has three kids, maybe, say, ages like 6, 8, and 10 years old. She's got a full-time job as an accountant. She's super smart. She's really motivated. Maybe her parents are aging, and they're starting to have health problems, and they're needing her attention. And suddenly she starts noticing that she's been forgetting words mid-sentence. Maybe she's talking with a client, and she's just not as quick with her tongue as she used to be. Or her husband's always making jabs at her because she's constantly misplacing her iPhone. She comes home in the evening and she just wants to read a newspaper or a magazine, and every time she sits down to do that, she falls right asleep. Or maybe then when she climbs into bed, she's got this kind of anxiety at night, and that keeps her awake during the night, and then she's tired during the day. And this is a typical kind of patient that will walk into my practice. And before she comes to see me, maybe she's come to see her primary care doc. And, her primary care doc will listen to her story and maybe run some blood work and do an exam and probably chalks up her condition to perimenopause or maybe just overstress. And what is she usually offered in that sort of clinical environment? She's usually offered an antidepressant drug. And many, many people walk out, and that's the end of their story. They start taking an antidepressant. But I want you to picture, you know, that this woman who's coming in to see me, and maybe she says, "Hey, I'm not okay getting on a prescription drug at 40 years old. I want to take charge of my health, and I want to do something proactive now before this becomes a much bigger problem." And I would maintain that this woman doesn't need an antidepressant. And if you're questioning that, I just want you to picture in your mind a really healthy 40-year-old woman, and a healthy 40-year-old woman who's vibrant and healthy. What is she doing in her life? You know, you imagine, what is she eating? Well, you know she's eating healthy foods. And what does she have in her medicine cabinet? She opens her medicine cabinet. Do you see a long list of prescription drugs, or do you even see one? You know, no, you might see some nutritional supplements, maybe some vitamins, maybe some fish oil. And you know that she exercises, and you know she sleeps well. So, you know, this is really what we want to focus with natural brain care, is just saying, hey, let's get started early by addressing lifestyle and diet and exercise, and create a healthier lifestyle that's going to naturally flow into healthier brain function.
So what you're saying, Dr. Karas, is that we all have the ability, even before there are symptoms. We all have times when we forget a word, or we walk into a room, as I said earlier, and you can't remember what you came into the room for. What you're saying is that it's possible to understand that we can do things to protect our brain and make it function better, and to give it more opportunity to grow healthier, rather than worry about its decrease in ability. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. 100% correct. And I would also say that, you know, these early symptoms, I want to say, hey, if you're starting to get symptoms, maybe in your 40s, maybe in your 50s, or maybe even younger, being more forgetful than you used to, or having trouble focusing. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you know that's part of your personality and it's always been that way. But if it's a change for you, even if it's kind of mild and you laugh it off, you know, like if you're always losing your iPhone, for example, and you just laugh it off as something that's sort of funny, I want to say, hey, you know, these are early symptoms of a condition called mild cognitive impairment. And 1 in 10 people who have mild cognitive impairment will progress to Alzheimer's disease. So it doesn't necessarily mean, and, you know, your primary care physician would say, hey, that doesn't mean you're going to get Alzheimer's because you're forgetting words mid-sentence. We all do that. We all walk into a room and forget why we're there. But I want to say, you know, I think that is motivation to start taking care of your brain now. Your general health, of course, but your brain health specifically. Really get serious about it early on, because prevention is the best care.
So what can we do exactly to really care for our brain? And I hear you're indicating that there are definite steps that we can take, food-wise, exercise-wise, to help us maintain our brain function.
Right. So one of the most essential, I think a good starting place for anybody is to address diet. And, you know, the standard American diet is shocking. And if you just walk into a grocery store and you follow a few people around, particularly mother with small children, and see what they're throwing into their shopping carts, I mean, I get literally depressed. And if I happen to bump into one of my patients, sometimes they'll kind of stand in front of their shopping cart trying to hide what's in there because they don't want me to shake their finger at them. And, of course, we all eat, you know, sugar from time to time, or foods that aren't that healthy from time to time. But when it becomes part of every meal that you're eating, now we're providing our bodies with a type of quiet and deadly stress that really undermines our healthy brain function.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Karis Lindruth, who is a chiropractor and an herbalist with a busy practice in Pennsylvania, and she's been helping patients for more than 20 years, working with plant medicine and natural methods to restore well-being on all levels. And tonight, we're particularly talking about keeping and restoring our brain function. So you were in this, so we're in the supermarket, and we've got all this stuff around us. So what do we do? How do we change things?
Well, change is a really hard thing, especially when it comes to food, because people pretty much like to eat what they like to eat. And you mentioned the word microbiome. And, you know, the microbiome is a collection of bacteria that live inside and on us, but particularly in our guts. And scientists are now discovering that the type of bacteria that colonize your personal gut may actually be influencing your decisions about what you want to eat. So you actually might be craving that donut because you've got bacteria in your gut that rely on donuts for survival. Particularly, we're talking about sugar.
Yeah, so that one thing that is to watch out for is high sugar content.
Sugar would probably be my number one request for anybody who is having early brain dysfunction, that they eliminate sugar from their diet. When I'm talking about eliminating sugar, I'm talking about refined sugars that are added to processed foods. You know, we're not talking necessarily about an apple, which does have natural sugar in it as well.
Right.
And you know, sort of confusingly, the brain actually relies on sugar for function. It's one of its primary fuels. The cells of your brain use about a third of your normal glucose intake. But what's happening is that we are taking in so much more glucose than is normal, than what our biology is really geared or wired to manage. So what happens is a situation where the neurons in your brain and also cells elsewhere in your body become resistant. They're resistant to insulin, and insulin is kind of the partner that introduces glucose into the cell. That's kind of science-y, but I just like to get that little image, if you can imagine, you know, this molecule of glucose in your bloodstream, and it's swimming around your brain. And insulin is kind of like the usher, and it's going to say, hey, here you go, and it introduces the glucose to the neuron and helps it step right inside that neuron, and then that neuron is happy and not hungry anymore, and it's functional. But what happens when you have tons and tons and tons of glucose is that you get tons and tons and tons of these insulin molecules, these ushers that are all busy trying to get all the glucose into the brain cell. And after a while, the brain cell starts to ignore insulin, right? It's just like somebody who's just making a racket all the time and you want to tune them out.
And we're going to talk more with Dr. Karis Lindruth, an herbalist and chiropractor with a busy practice in Pennsylvania. And we're going to talk more about how we maintain our brains and what we can do to keep our brains healthy when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Dr. Karis Lindruth, who is an herbalist and chiropractor with a busy practice in Pennsylvania. And she's been working to help her patients work with plant medicine and natural methods to restore well-being on all levels, and particularly restoring brain health. How does one go about using plant and green methods to restore brain health? Dr. Lindruth.
Well, that's a huge question, Ellie.
Okay.
So I could hardly even know where to begin. But, you know, when we left off, we were talking a little bit about sugar.
Yes.
And you asked me, you know, during the break to talk about, does that just mean white sugar or does that include honey or maple syrup or fruit sugars?
Right, yes.
And I just want to prioritize for people who are listening and, you know, eliminating sugar from your diet, particularly if you eat it regularly, is really challenging. So I want to give a few rules that might be helpful for somebody who's starting that. Number one, I just want to tell you, like, if you are starting the journey to eliminate sugar from your diet, it takes 30 days to kind of break that initial craving. So for the first week or two, and maybe even the whole 30 days, you might think about sugar every hour of the day. But after that, you're going to notice that your tongue, your taste buds will taste sugar differently. So you'll find something sweet, like a carrot, that never tasted sweet when you were normally eating these cookies and cakes and ice cream. Second of all, I want to also prioritize that drinking sugary drinks, including 100% fruit juice that doesn't have any added, fructose corn syrup or anything like that, is probably one of the worst forms of sugar for your body and your brain. So if that was all you did was you stopped drinking soda and you stopped drinking juice or you stopped drinking those energy drinks or the Kool-Aid or Gatorade, that would be a great start for somebody. And then third, if you're really serious about wanting to change your brain function, I would suggest that for at least 30 days and maybe 60 days, you go off all added sugars, including honey and maple syrup. So for a little while, you eat only whole fruits, especially berries, like blueberries or raspberries. And then if you need to sweeten yourself up a little bit more, you could go to a banana. And when people who have real significant symptoms, I don't even let them eat bananas. So you can sort of find your own level of tolerance or what you can, you know, where you want to start. And I suggest you start in stages. You know, give yourself some rules that you can live by so that you will be successful and know that any amount of limiting that you do is going to help.
So this is a very important factor. So the foods that we eat play a prime role, particularly sugar, in the processed form is what you're talking about, as well as in fruit juices. So
yes.
We really have to make an effort to watch out for that consumption.
I think if that's the only thing you did, if that was the only thing you took away from this little conversation that we're having, Ellie, I think it would be the most important.
So concentrating on eliminating sugar and sweet things from our lives, that's certainly the processed sugar, is a very prime factor for keeping our brain healthy. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that. That is exactly right. I wish it was otherwise, since coffee ice cream is one of my favorite foods. I wish it was one of the four food groups, but it's not.
Well, I want to come to something else that's important in maintaining brain health, and that's the role of stress. How is stress impacting the health or well-being of our brains?
Right, that's a really good question, Ellie. So stress actually shrinks your brain. And acute stress, when you're under acute stress, that's normal. Everybody's going to go under acute stress every now and then. And when I say acute stress, I'm talking about something really stressful happens. Imagine we're living like back in caveman times and, you are designed biologically to be able to run away from something that's chasing after you. So, a fierce animal is chasing after you, and your adrenals will kick out a hormone called adrenaline. And that helps you run fast, and it makes your heart pound, makes your eyes dilate so that you can see the danger and you can run faster. And we're also designed to have the hormone cortisol sort of kick in after that adrenaline to help calm that down, because we certainly couldn't live with that sort of adrenaline pumping in us all the time. Imagine you just drank way too much coffee. That's what adrenaline feels like. So the cortisol kind of comes there to calm everything down. But cortisol is another kind of sort of chronic stress hormone. You know, it does get us up in the morning normally, but it shouldn't stay elevated all the time. So you're actually 90% of the information of your brain is designed to go through kind of this resting and digesting portion of your brainstem. You should be more focused on your digestion than you are on running away from scary animals. However, in our current society, you know, we're burning the candle at both ends. And so we're relying on caffeine, and we're relying on, I mean, just simple pressure is enough to get your heart rate up, right? And these stress hormones actually increase inflammation, and this inflammation actually does damage to brain tissue.
Now, how about things such as, can we do some things to relax our bodies and our minds through yoga, through meditation? Does that help calm
our
brain?
Absolutely. It sure does. And if you're not familiar with yoga or comfortable or physically able to do yoga, or you're maybe meditation, you constantly fall asleep when you meditate, or you're not comfortable with that either, a really simple technique is breathing deeply. So if you're sitting or lying down and you just focus on breathing in as deeply as you can, and maybe you hold your breath for about 5-6 seconds, and just imagine that oxygen swimming around, because you know, your brain uses glucose for fuel, but it also uses oxygen. So doing that deep breathing in and deep breathing out is really, really helpful. And because when you're under stress, actually your breathing is quite shallow. And most of the day, you know, you really don't even notice that you're breathing. So just because you're breathing, it doesn't mean your brain is getting oxygen. And another simple way to increase blood flow to your brain and thereby oxygen is just to simply hang your head over. So just a forward bend, or you stand up and you just lean forward and let your head, let the sort of blood rush into your head for a little bit and let it be there. And that in itself can actually calm anxiety. So it's such a simple thing. And, you know, I have my patients do much more rigorous things than this, but there are simple ways that you can help your brain function just as a day-to-day thing for somebody who's a beginner.
So you're saying that, number one, we have to be careful of the things we eat, particularly sugar intake, processed sugar intake, and we also have to be aware of the stress in our lives and find the techniques that are going to be fulfilling for ourselves, a simple thing like deep breathing or hanging our head, pulling our head down low so that the brain gets circulation. These are a couple of techniques that you're suggesting.
Yes. And I might also add, you know, for many people, taking a really high-quality fish oil can also promote brain endurance and help us deal with the effect of inflammation and stress.
Now, is there a particular kind of fish oil that we have to be careful of, or is there any fish oil that we can take?
Well, I mean, you need to buy your fish oil from a real reputable company that, you know, filters for mercury and makes sure that the oil, any oil that you get, has a possibility of being rancid. So you want to make sure you have a really high quality fish oil. And I often say, you know, you get what you pay for when you're buying a fish oil. If you're really wanting to address brain function and support your brain function and enhance your mood, there's a type of fish oil that is called high DHA, like David, Harry, Albert, DHA. And the high DHA fish oil is really, really targets the brain function.
And how about eating fish, organic fish, at least once or twice a week?
Right, so if you eat a good quality, again, you know, farm-raised might be an issue unless it's organic farm-raised, but salmon is probably one of your healthiest fishes for promoting your omega-3 fatty acids, which is what's in a fish oil capsule when you take it.
Particularly wild-caught salmon.
So wild-caught, I eat wild-caught salmon, and I think it's also very good. I prefer that over farm-raised. Farm-raised salmon, it's just conventional farm-raised salmon, can really be a problem and happens to be quite low in the omega fatty acids. And one of the ways you can tell when you're shopping for your salmon, just look for the salmon that's a dark orange, like a truly dark orange, and making sure that they haven't added a food dye to it.
You have an online course. Can you tell us about that? That is devoted to helping people deal with protecting their brain.
Right. So just this week, I opened registration for my six-week online training called Keeping Your Brain Brilliant. And I'm really excited about this class because I'm working, I'll be teaching the class live. We're going to have 6 one-hour sessions talking on the topic and on various different topics about brain health. And I'm going to be helping people design their own custom natural brain care program so that they can walk away with some confidence that they are going to be, getting better brain function if they follow the steps that they've figured out for them is what they need, because everybody's different. So I could give you like 5 things that are good to do for your brain, but it might be a little different from person to person. I really like to customize it.
Now, how can they get in touch with you for the course?
So I do have a website. It is myname.com. So that's not the easiest thing for people to spell. But if you have radio show notes, that might be helpful. But my name is CharisLindruth.com. And if you just Google Charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, you're going to probably find that website. There's not very many people with my name. Or you can search for gingerjuice.org. That's another. That'll take you to the same website. And there's a whole page. It'll just take you right to the information page about the course.
Thank you again, Dr. Lindruth, for helping us to see that it is possible to maintain our brain function throughout our lives through nutrition, stress relief, and have the ability to ward off Alzheimer and dementia. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.